You're listening to the Dr. Abrasive Show.
What's up, all you meatheads out there? Jerks and skipscats, scallywags, pimps and hoes and all in between. Man, we haven't done a show in a while. You don't hear another voice on because it's just me right here. And really, the only reason why I decided to get on this thing is, man, life has been going full speed ahead right now. And everything that the cause for demand is not slowing down. So we ain't been able to schedule no show. So there's that. But at the same time, man, god damn, wild shit just keep happening. Fucking, let's see, 2 days ago, a 16-year-old here was running from the cops, ran a red light, killed three people, injured about 10 other people, fucked themselves up. They were riding around with a motherfucking Draco. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But they said they had an automatic weapon in the car. Jesus. What is going on? I know, man. I know people are like, oh, man, these kids. He's like, nah, I'm pretty sure it's just 84 of the time. You probably find kids doing wild shit. But Jesus, as you get older, you start hearing these things like, man, that shit don't sound fun, nigga. This shit does not sound fun. I could not imagine myself being at 16 years old, having done something that's so violent to kill three people and have to live the rest of my life knowing that I killed three people that were just minding their fucking business on a Tuesday night. A Tuesday night. Tuesday is like the deadest day of the week in my eyes. Tuesday night, you minding your business with your kid. Now, kid don't have a parent, don't have a mother. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of people fucked up. All because somebody was out joyriding, doing some dumb shit. And then tonight, somebody done got killed at the Amazon facility. Bored. Meanwhile, I don't know why people won't give me top politics at work, but I will not. If I didn't care about my job, maybe. But no, don't come here talking to me about no politics because I'm going to play dumb every fucking time. I know I do have a vested interest in what I would like to do. My political support, and it ain't Donald Trump. Fuck that nigga. But I'm not finna talk about it at work. Now, while I got the companies, I'm wearing the company's name on my chest. Now, fuck that shit. I'm not that motherfucker crazy. But, you know, so people come in, and it's always, man, it's just everybody, dog. And they all be talking weird shit, and then every last one of them are talking the weird shit about Donald Trump. And I'm just like, you know what? If you feel like he is going to get elected and do something to help you, fuck the other option. We're not sitting here saying the other option ain't going to help me. I'm not sitting here saying that. I'm not saying Kamala Harris is going to make my life a whole lot better. But if you feel like Donald Trump gonna make your life so much more grand by him being in office and the future of this country, then hey, do whatever you gotta do. But at the same time, I wanna tell you that if that's what you believe, the sky's purple. I mean, dog, think about it. The last president that got shot at, people ain't too fond of him now. I mean, everybody don't like the president. People don't shoot at him. This nigga got shot at. Now, if you want to say it was inside job, it was a conspiracy, what the fuck ever. Do whatever you want to do. Hey, you believe what I'm saying. The fact of the matter is, nigga got shot at. That's what it is. Ain't nobody pulling no conspiracy job that big to shoot at a nigga. And then on top of that, other motherfucker keep getting caught talking about they gonna shoot this nigga. Like, dog. Come on, man. Come on. There's that. Then my other thing is, man, on the side, I do delivery driving. I drive for Uber Eats and DoorDash just to make a little extra cash on the side. But I don't pick up every order. I'll tell you this right now. So I probably deny well over 80% of the orders that I get. I said DoorDash, I'm probably like 50-50 right now. But Uber Eats, shit, I probably accept well under 20% of the orders they send my way. And I don't give a fuck. It is what it is. And here's my thing. Hey, I'm not mad at the customer. Excuse me. I'm not mad at the customer if you don't tip. That's on you. Hey, that's your right, your life. It is what it is. But in an industry where the tip is what's encouraging me to take that order up front, if it ain't there, I ain't taking it. And I don't care if you will add it later or you might give me some cash at the door. Number one, can't take cash. I don't want to take cash. Ain't trying to get no cash. That's number one. Number two, nigga, I'm not driving no motherfucker. I don't give a fuck whether you give the tip or not. I'm not driving no motherfucker hour to deliver no food to nobody for no $6. It is what it is. The base pay on the average Uber Eats order is about $2.30 flat for just one around the corner. So, and I ain't doing that. I ain't driving 20 minutes for no $2. That math don't add up to a very healthy dollars per hour gig for me. So I know people like, well, the more you do ain't guaranteed. Cause there's such things as slow nights. You don't sign up on a slow night. You done took four $2 orders, and you've been running around here for 3 hours, and all you done made is fucking $6.25. And the orders ain't coming in fast, nah, dog. Because every order that you take, every time you take a damn order, you sign yourself off of availability. And if ain't nothing coming in going the way you going, you might not get nothing else. Fuck that. Fuck that shit. I ain't gonna take that shit. So there's that. Again, you ain't got tip. You'll get your order. Somebody'll pick it up. It just won't be me. Other thing. And these folks, y'all folks live in gated communities, dog. Y'all wild. You live in a secure living area, a secure community. Why y'all niggas be ordering the orders? Then don't want to answer your phone or respond to the text message on the app saying that, hey, we at the gate. Listen, I know I just said don't take cheap orders, but I still get paid regardless. I'll come to your gate, text you. If you don't respond within 5 minutes, I'm calling the company and tell them to cancel that shit and pay me out. I'm going to get paid and you won't get no food. So you figure out how you want to do it. But quit living in the gated community, this motherfucker, not and then going to sleep. Anybody finna walk through no gate and bring no food to you in no big ass gated community, nigga? Nah, fuck you. Man, zoom on that bullshit. But you talk about some leave it door. I'm gonna leave that bitch at the front gate. And you ain't even gonna know it there because I'm gonna get that bitch canceled. You're gonna have to get it, place that order again, my boy, get that refund. Nobody got time for that shit. But this is Dr. Breaks Show. No, I just didn't give y'all no intro, just a cold opening, like Rick and Morty in this bitch. It's Dr. Breaks Show, man. You can find this thing on most podcast readers. If you find it where you listening at now, maybe somebody share it with you. Maybe you stumbled across it because you just saw something like, oh, what the fuck you think you're talking about? Excuse me. Normally, I do this show with my homeboy, MJ, or and if Cam come out of retirement, Cam will come through. Hell, Maybe one of the crew members might come through, drop in. You know, we have a couple of affiliates that you might hear here every now and then. They might come through, you know, drop a couple lines. But, you know, hey, right now, you got me. That's it. That's it. So hopefully you enjoy this little segment. Maybe this is a short show. Maybe it's long. I do have some topics queued up. So that's the things I do want to talk about. I just want to get that off my chest. You can leave feedback. Feedback at drbrace.com. Follow Dr. Brace on most of, on just about all the social media platforms. I just don't think I have Threads yet. I keep seeing it. Instagram and Facebook keep trying to get me. They show me these little thread posts that people have up with the little snippets on there. And if you click it, it's like, oh, you got to add the app and sign up. I'm like, oh, no, I ain't did that yet. There's just another level of branding that I got to do. So I haven't got to it. But for the most part, you got this show. And the mascot of this show is motherfucking Honey Badger, because that's what the niggas chose. I guess so. They that chose it. That's what we got. That's what we're working with. That's what we're gonna do. And we had a voicemail line, but it hadn't been used that much. So I just let the bitch go away. I ain't try to get the motherfucker added back. I can get another one, but it's gonna be a totally different number. So we don't have a voicemail line. So what you wanna do? You could do like my guys over there and forget that your podcast. You can drop yourself a voice note and send it to the email, and then I play the voice note on the show versus you calling the phone number. That's a whole lot easier. I like the way they do that shit. That shit sounds like a motherfucking plan. So you want to fuck with us? You want to send us something? You could do it that way, my nigga. Record your voice, send it by email, play this shit on the show. It's about to be football season, so you know we're gonna get into some shit like that. But until while we here, let's go ahead and talk about the sports talk. Dr. Break Sports Time. All right, first thing out the gate. The Olympics are over. I mean, the only sports I really checked for were every now and then I peeked at the basketball scores. I looked at some of the other like events to see who was getting medals. But for the most part, I was only checking the Olympics for track and field because track and field is my summer sport. That's what I watch. Athletics. That's what I'm into. I watch it. It's entertaining. I mean, it's not a listen. If you want to talk about somebody doing something for the love, track and field is it. Because they don't get paid a lot of money. And the career span in track and field is not that long because it doesn't take long for somebody to come and knock you off the pedestal for many reasons. I mean, okay, so every 4 years, the Olympics come around and people get into the track and they want to see who the fastest man and woman alive is. And they get into this and the pageantry, and people start getting patriotic and can't train on it. I don't give a fuck about all that. I watch what athletes I want to watch. I don't give a damn about no goddamn what country they run for. Because if you think about it from this perspective, like the United States has a ton of sprinters. A ton of sprinters. They only send in three per event to the Olympics. But all of them are still running. So basically, the Olympics end up being a break for everybody else that don't make the Olympics. And not a break is in such that they are. They're not training. A break is in, so they're not competing. So they can train a little longer. They can recover. They can heal. You know, they can work on technique, this or the other. So you don't get to see a lot of the sprinters that you know. For instance, like Sha'Carri Richardson made she made the 100-meter sprint team. So she was on the 100-meter team, but she didn't make the 200-meter because she didn't qualify. You know what I'm saying? So she only ran the 100 and the 4x1 at the Olympics, you know. Cool. So we got to see a new face. We got to see Brittany Brown and we got to see Mackenzie Long. But in world championship last year, Sha'Carri ran 200 and 100. And we saw Brittany Brown and dang, I can't think of other name, other than like name they ran. But you know, we get to see them. And it was pretty good to see those ladies get in there. And then the fact that Sha'Carri and Melissa Jefferson, I don't even know what the last thing else that was recorded. So fuck it. But I will say this. I do know that I was on the point Well, I was saying the point when it was loaded back up that everybody discovered, I ain't gonna say about it, a lot of people discover Rasheeda Aleke and they were in love with her. And rightfully so. And she was at Texas last year. She ran at the University of Texas. She's a sprinter. She does 400, 200, 100. She runs Ireland. She is, yes, I would say she is the show. She is the show. But she's been training down in Austin with Dean Astor-Smith and Julian Afrin. Julian Afrin, who is the gold medal winner in the year, the women's 100. But the other thing that we learned in the Olympics is, man, everybody hates Noah Lyles. And not because they just hate Noah Lyles, because Noah Lyles is giving everybody a reason to hate him. Now, me, because I love wrestling, I'm like, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with this. Hey, Noah, bite down into this, become the world's heel, keep training, and just win. And when you don't win, it don't matter because you're a heel. People don't like you. They don't want to see you win. And when you do win, that's going to make everybody else want to try that fucking harder to beat you. That makes the sport better. Fuck it. Be the heel. I don't really need a face as this, in track and field world, especially for the men. Matter of fact, I hate that. Things I hate that. I'm not a real big fan of the overwhelming good guy that comes out that smile. I don't know why. I don't have anything against Christian Coleman, for example, but I wasn't really hurt that he didn't make the individual team. Wasn't really hurt. Sorry for the guy, but I wasn't really hurt. And then it didn't help that he was a part of that. Ooh, that disqualified.
I ain't gonna be able to do this all night.
All right, well, we'll get back. We'll be back. I gotta piece this stuff together, man. Figure out what's going on. I'm not fixing to keep fucking with my computer. This bitch jumping on, jumping off all night. But either way, what I was about to say, it didn't help that Christian Coleman was a part of the men's U.S. team that was disqualified in the 4x100 after they just won gold at the World Championships and didn't even fucking finish in the Olympics. Didn't help. Whatever. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about, the third stop. Third stop was this. Hey, number one. Man, whew, Jamaica got hit up with a blow. Elaine Thompson-Herah, she's been dealing with injuries since last year, and it's obvious that she's not fully healed, and she did not make the she not make the Olympic team, so she wasn't there for Jamaica. Sherika Jackson has not been looking as explosive as she had been last year. She is like the second, she got the second fastest time ever in the 200 right there on the heels of Flojo. And I mean, just I don't know, man. Did not show up. Was I don't even think I don't remember seeing her in Paris if she was there, but she did not participate in any of the events that she was slated to participate in, so she wasn't there. She didn't run the 100. She didn't run the 200. She wasn't on the 4x1 team. She wasn't there at all. Shelly was there. Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce was there, which was supposed to slate to be her last Olympic. I want to say she ran in the 100 qualifier in the heats, and then that was it. She made the semis, but she pulled out because of, situations that were going on beyond the track. I think everybody heard about what was going on with that, as far as with the gate and the access to the stadium and being able to get inside the facilities for her, and she pulled out. So she wasn't there. She didn't run the semi. She didn't run the final. So you don't have her there. Just was not a good showing. In the 4x4, the Jamaicans dropped the baton. The Jamaican team dropped the baton. You know, they did not make that there. I want to say they did not make. They did make the finals of the 4x1, but they didn't medal. You know what I'm saying? So Team Jamaica was not looking good. Now they did have two men to make it to the finals of the 100 meter hurdle. I mean, the 100 meter sprint, but Kashane Thompson came in second behind Noah. You know, there was that. But the man of the weekend ended up being Lesle Tobogo, Botswana. Let me tell you something. Number one, this man came out, ran the 200, won the gold, beat Noah. Noah got bronze, I want to say, in that one. I want to say it was Tobogo, Kung Fu Kenny, and then Noah. Or Noah may have got second and Kenny got bronze. I don't know. Either way. Then Tobogo came out for Botswana in the 4x4. Ran the fucking 4x4 qualifier on the fucking starting leg and came out there and blew these motherfuckers away. I mean, he got out there and was gone. And got them through the first two rounds of the first round to get in that final. And then he ran the anchor and kept them in contention there for the 4x4. So that dude was fucking running. And listen, he was in the, I want to say he was in the final of the 100 too. But yeah, he came out to prove a point. And he is the one of the reason why I say, hey man, Noah should be the heel. If Noah being the heel gets people like Tobogo to tap into their maximum potential to do the shit that he did at the Olympics, hey man, it's fucking amazing. Now, at the end of the day, Noah don't win a whole lot of stuff, but he's Noah Lyles. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, when you become, and I'm not trying to say Noah Lyles is Ric Flair, but if you're Ric Flair or you're John Cena, you don't have to win a championship. Just you being on the card with other motherfuckers gives them the opportunity to get over. Like, you're saying, like, if Noah Lyles don't make the final of the 200, nobody gives a fuck about Lesle Tobogo. Nobody. Nobody gives a fuck about it. Hey, man. No one need to find some other events to get into, man. He needs to be like Carl, man. Carl was a long jumper and a sprint. No one need to find some other events, man. Getting them shit, some calls, motherfucking ruckus. But with all that being said, the British team did well. They, you know, I want to say that Dina Asher Smith redeemed herself in my eyes. You know, people tried to make it seem like she was the scapegoat for that team not performing to the best of its ability the last few relay events they run. Because I want to say, one, she had she was injured, or she had something that came up. And they make it seem like that she always seemed to pull up in events where the likes are big for her. Hey, here's the thing. For her, she is probably the most decorated British sprinter of all time. 200 is her specialty. But as a 100-meter sprinter and as part of the 4x1 team, she's probably one of the most notable sprinter of the modern time. It just so happened that there all right, well, we'll get back. I gotta piece this stuff together, man. Figure out what's going on. I'm not fixing to keep fucking with my computer. This bitch jumping on, jumping off all night. But either way, what I was about to say, It didn't help that Christian Coleman was a part of the men's U.S. team that was disqualified in the 4x100 after they just won gold at the World Championships and didn't even fucking finish in the Olympics. Didn't help. Whatever. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about, you know, the third stop. Third stop was this. Hey, number one, man, Jamaica got hit up with a blow. Elaine Thompson-Herah, she's been dealing with injuries since last year, and it's obvious that she's not fully healed, and she did not make the Olympic team, so she wasn't there for Jamaica. Sharika Jackson has not been looking as explosive as she had been last year. She is like the second, she got the second fastest time ever in the 200, right there on the heels of FloJo. And I mean, just, I don't know, man. Did not show up. I don't remember seeing her in Paris if she was there, but she did not participate in any of the events that she was slated to participate in. So she wasn't there. She didn't run the 100. She didn't run the 200. She wasn't on the 4x1 team. She wasn't there at all. Shelly was there. Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce was there, which was supposed to slate to be her last Olympic. I want to say she ran in the 100 qualifier in the heats. And then that was it. She made the semis, but she pulled out because of, you know, situations that were going on beyond the track. I think everybody heard about what was going on with that, as far as with the gate and the access to the stadium and being able to get inside the facilities for her. And, you know, she pulled out. So she wasn't there. She didn't run the semi, she didn't run the final. So you don't have her there. Just was not a good showing. In the 4x4, the Jamaicans dropped the baton. The Jamaican team dropped the baton. You know, they did not make that there. I want to say they did not make, they did make the finals of the 4x1, but they didn't medal. You know what I'm saying? So Team Jamaica was not looking good. Now they did have two men to make it to the finals of the 100 meter hurdle. I mean, the 100 meter sprint, but Kashane Thompson came in second behind Noah. You know, there was that. But the man of the weekend ended up being Lesele Tobogo, Botswana. Let me tell you something. Number one, this man came out, ran the 200, won the gold, beat Noah. Noah got bronze, I want to say, in that one. I want to say it was Tobogo, Kung Fu Kenny, and then Noah. Or Noah may have got second and Kenny got bronze. I don't know. Either way. Then Tobogo came out for Botswana in the 4x4, ran the fucking 4x4 qualifier on the fucking starting leg and came out there and blew these motherfuckers away. I mean, he got out there and was gone. And got them through the first two rounds of the first round to get in that final. And then he ran the anchor and kept them in contention there for the 4x4. So that dude was fucking running. And listen, he was in the, I want to say he was in the final of the 100 too. But yeah, he came out to prove a point. And he is one of the reasons why I say, hey man, Noah should be the heel. If Noah being the heel gets people like Tobogo to tap into their maximum potential to do the shit that he did at the Olympics, hey man, it's fucking amazing. Now, at the end of the day, Noah don't win a whole lot of stuff, but he's Noah Lyles. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, when you become, and I'm not trying to say Noah Lyles is Ric Flair, but if you're Ric Flair or you're John Cena, you don't have to win a championship. Just you being on the card with other motherfuckers gives them the opportunity to get over. Like you're saying, like, if Noah Lyles don't make the final of the 200, nobody gives a fuck about Lesele Tobogo. Nobody. Nobody gives a fuck about it. Hey man, no one need to find some other events to get into, man. He needed to be like Carl, man. Carl was a long jumper and a sprinter. No one need to find some other events, man. Getting them shit some Carl's motherfucking ruckus. But with all that being said, the British team did well. I want to say that Dina Asher Smith redeemed herself in my eyes. You know, people tried to make it seem like she was the scapegoat for that team not performing to the best of its ability the last few relay events they run. Because I want to say, one, she was injured, or she had something that came up. And they make it seem like that she always seemed to pull up in events where the likes are big for her. Hey, here's the thing. For her, she is probably the most decorated British sprinter of all time. 200 is her specialty. But as a 100-meter sprinter and as part of the 4x1 team, she's probably one of the most notable sprinter of the modern time. It just so happened that Dara Nita is right there along with her. She's like a year younger than her, so they're going to be there together, and people are going to try to compare them together. And then they have a couple other young sprinters, up-and-coming sprinters that are going to be on the team. My thing about it is, for me, she redeemed herself. She got out there. She ran that opening leg at a 4x1 to put them in a place to where they could medal like they did. You know what I'm saying? You can say what you want to say about everybody else on the team, but, you know, her setting the tone, doing what Asher Philip had been doing for the longest, got them set up for pretty good to do pretty well. So, hey, nothing wrong with that. Shout out to Quincy Wilson, young kid from Maryland, who got a gold medal. Going to high school, you know, starting his high school, his senior year out now as a gold medalist. Shout out to him. Hopefully, if he stay with track, many more accolades come with him. But the other Quincy Hall, my God, that is the most phenomenal running I ever seen in my whole fucking life. And I've seen a lot of running. I seen niggas do some running. I mean, I seen niggas run with pads on and do some crazy shit. That nigga did some crazy wild ass shit in that 400, that last fucking maybe 7,500 to 75 fucking meters to win the gold medal. They got there 400 meters. That motherfucker was. He put his whole goddamn body into that shit. That, listen, he looked like a motherfucker that was running from something. And I mean, Jason fucking gunshots, a nigga with a knife, motherfucking his girl, motherfucking finna check his fucking phone for some shit. All the motherfucking little cliche jokes that they make about a nigga moving fast or some shit. He was doing, and he was putting everything he had into it. That motherfucker was goddamn amazing. Well, I say all that. The Diamond League is back, so everybody got back to the track this weekend. I haven't looked at the Diamond League results, so can't really say who did what. But yeah, the Diamond League hit the track back. I want to say Dina did a phenomenal job today, I want to say. I haven't seen it yet, but I will watch it this weekend. You know, I'll be watching on that cock. That's the only place you can watch the Diamond League is on that cock, unless you got somewhere else that you can pick it up. But subscribe to the cock. That's all my athletic talk. That's it. Let's move over to some not ESPN. Let's move over to the NFL. First off, let's talk about the Eagles. Figure out for Eagles. Now, it's been wild because it's been in the news that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts just didn't mesh down the stretch. And apparently there was some kind of rift between the two of them. He's still there. Jalen's still there. Jalen ain't going nowhere. He just got paid. Nick is the one they can get rid of, but they kept him. It's going to be an interesting dynamic to see what goes on with the rest of them in this coming season. They went out and acquired Saquon, and then today they went out and got Jahan Dotson from the Commanders. First off, Listen, y'all are wild boys. Y'all trading to give y'all division opponent another weapon from your stash? The fuck is wrong with y'all? Oh my God. Whatever. But and people I've seen people ask him a question like, did the Eagles give up too much for Jahan Dotson? They got Jahan Dotson in a fifth round pick in 2025. And they gave up a third round pick and 2 7 round picks. How's that too much? They gave up three draft picks for next year. For some people, we don't even know who's gonna fit in those slots yet. Now, granted, players they pick up there might be good, but those two of those are prime cut slots. People who might get cut and end up somewhere else. Not saying that they're not going to be good, but they may get cut by the team that drafted them and end up somewhere else trying to spark their career. So, you know, if one of these 2 7 round picks end up being a role player or contributor, probably not going to be Washington. So, how's that too much? Y'all niggas be wild, man. I swear, every fucking move ends up being a goddamn talking point or to ask a question. Nigga, they made a trade, they gave up. They gave up three draft picks and got a player and one draft pick. And they got a fifth round pick and they gave up a fucking third. I mean, I guess the third round is the one that everybody gonna be like, oh, that was too high. Third round pick? And I got a third receiver? I'll take it. These motherfuckers got AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, now Jahan Dotson, with Saquon Barkley. And motherfucking Jalen Hurts. Sounds like a pretty decent, you know, skill locker room there. I don't see the problem. I'd take that trade. I know MJ would have got something way better than that if he were trading it on Madden, but you know, still take that. Jahan Dotson is not a bad pickup. In Pittsburgh, listen, now you don't want to ask a question. The question about this situation is, what happens to the person that loses it that ends up as QB2? Yeah, Justin Fields, and you got fucking Russell Wilson, both vying for the QB1 spot for Pittsburgh. Neither one of them have really been looking great in the preseason, but it's preseason. But it just so happened you got to use the preseason to kind of gauge which one you want to put in there, preseason and training camp, which one you want to go with. Justin Fields believes, you know, he can get it done. Of course, Russell Wilson has the experience, got the championships. You know, we can roll with him. Which one will Mike Tomlin roll with here in this scenario? That's a good fucking question because I don't even fucking know. But all I know is this, the one that doesn't get the job, if it's Russell, it's not that bad. Russell's still getting paid. He's a highly paid QB2. If it's Justin, that changes the whole story. Because the Bears, I won't say they gave up on him. They just never gave him a fucking chance. They washed his career. And then if he doesn't get it, he basically ends up being another washed out QB, kind of journeying around the NFL trying to find his way around. Not saying he's going to leave Pittsburgh anytime soon, but he's not helping himself in Pittsburgh not getting any quality snaps and reps on the field. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. The Falcons went out and signed A.J. Terrell to a 4-year, $81 million deal. Falcons giving money away, ain't it? And they just paid goddamn Kirk. Nigga, they got shit. If I had to do the math, I would say they probably got easily a significant portion of their salary cap wrapped up in the E2 players, a cornerback and a quarterback. Easily. But hey, go for it. Do what you got to do. All right, man. Let's get to this. Let's get this. Let's move to college football. College football is going to kick off on Saturday at 11 a.m. with Florida State and Florida State and Georgia Tech. I just want all the games. All the games. Florida State takes on Georgia Tech. They're gonna be playing in Dublin. In Dublin, Ireland. Don't even know how this season will come. Somebody knows how these things are coming about to where we get a college football game in Ireland. Why? Let me know. It's not like NCAA is a thing that is trying to expand itself beyond the borders like NFL is trying to do. We're trying to be a little bit more international. I don't know what the fuck. Maybe this is something to help them. I don't know. Maybe it's something to help the NFL. I don't fucking know. But all I know is they're playing in Dublin. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. But it may make perfect fucking sense to somebody else. Whatever. Fuck it. I don't care. Florida State, Georgia Tech, 11 a.m. Florida State is favored by 10, 10 and a half. The line is 55.5. The fuck? I mean, the line is Florida State by 10 and a half, but the over under is 55.5. If Florida, why is the line so close if the over-under is 55.5? Are they expecting Georgia Tech to score a lot of points? Am I looking at something wrong? Either way, I pick Florida State to win and cover. Montana State takes on New Mexico. New Mexico State, Montana State is favored by 13 and a half, over-under 55.4. Damn. New Mexico, y'all that sorry? Montana State to win. SMU in Nevada. SMU favored by 25. I'll take that bet. And then you got Delaware State and Hawaii. Did Delaware State get on that plane? Were they able to get out there to Hawaii? They were close to get out there early. Hawaii's favored by 40 and a half. That's probably going to happen. That's probably going to happen. Unless Delaware State don't get out there. Probably happen. Pick Delaware to win. There you go. So there's my those are my winners to start out. Florida State, New Mexico State, SMU, and Hawaii. Hawaii. This year for the Dr. Braces totally accurate ranking, I'm gonna do the top 16 teams and pair them up in a playoff style bracket because I know that NCAA jumped to 12, but fuck it. We need four more slots. He going to 16, baby. So I'm gonna rank the top 16 teams, and it's gonna and my ranking is the best. So fuck everybody else. So yeah, there's gonna be four teams that will get left out. But hey, I don't think anybody should have a bye if you're in a playoff. Fuck all that bullshit. The W is back. I saw that the Liberty beat the Wings today. I saw DeJounay's putting on her whole show and giving everybody a little bit of that the heat. I guess rightfully so. At the same time, I can't pull up the stats right now because something doesn't want to play. Either way, it is what it is. Move to some news. Don't want to go to news and don't want to go to entertainment and stuff. Yeah, I can talk about them. Murder Renner. Oh shit. I'm drop some goddamn ashes all over my shit. Let's see what I got here. Not my watch list. My activities. What have I been watching the last time that we did the show? You know, yes, I can do that. Well, it's what I would. I could. I want to say, hey, man. So, here also in Germantown, Tennessee, a man is under fire for hosting parties at his house. Knock down drag outs, like motherfucking packing the yard out, having people perform pool parties all out the door, just fucking everybody coming over like a club on the outside. Nigga having day parties at his house. It's a big ass And that house is fucking up. That house is fucking huge. A dude come on the news and be like, hey, it's my house. I do what the fuck I want to do. Obviously, this nigga don't understand how shit works because the city and the police and everybody, all the haters are motherfucking fed. So they got down and doing some digging and found out this nigga was charging people to come through and have a performance. And they basically put him up against fines of operating a performing venue, a performance venue at his house, and not paying the taxes and the fees to do so. And yeah, man, as soon as that shit came, that nigga put the house up for sale. Now, here's the thing. Hey, that house is fucking... house is expensive. Now, somebody might buy that motherfucker up, but that house is big. I've seen the house. I saw it on the news. I'm like, nigga, I passed out so many times. Like, that's a... it's right there on the main drag, my motherfucker. It's a big-ass house, my nigga. But yeah. Yeah. Dude just didn't realize it. You can't just do what the fuck you want to do whenever the fuck you want to do it. People will fucking act stupid. Let's go down. Let's see what I watched since the last time we talked. Last thing, I think we talked about, me and Andrew talked about Blue Beetle. So, oh, I talked about the Freak Dick Doc. I started the other black girl. I just finished the first episode. It's about a young black lady working in this publishing, this editing, this editor, where she's basically the only black lady there. And then this new young black lady comes in and works, gets a job there. It's a real funny dynamic, too. The existing team member, the young black girl that was there, she went to a white school. The new black girl, she went to Howard. So you got somebody went to white school and new young lady comes in from HBCU. They try to connect there. They go out to eat. Number one violation here is just because somebody look like you at your job don't mean y'all need to be motherfucking linking up. Just cause, hey man, you gotta learn, man. You gotta feel people out, man. Some black folk be so in, it'd be especially the motherfucking token. Y'all be so motherfucking so motherfucking enamored. To get that rub for somebody to look like you when they come in, just because they come in don't mean they coming in to motherfucking be your friend. They might be coming to take your place. And she got hit over that real quick, man. That shit happened so fast, it was not even fucking funny. Me and MJ talked about Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah, I was watching Upload's all over the place now, the season that I'm on, so there's that. There's a TV show called Us on Tubi. I really didn't pay much attention to it. I watched I had the first two episodes to play, but I really didn't get into it, so I gotta go back and start that over. And then I'll finish the series in maybe 2 days. I'm not one for binging. Like, I watch a lot of shit, but binging something is not something that I really get into doing. So if something comes out, I might kind of, y'all can tell because I just talked about shit that happened a long time ago. But, nigga, I start that Changeling, man. Changeling is on Apple TV. So, it's Lakeith Stanfield. He's in this motherfucker. I know there's a couple of people in there that you may know. But the essential thing is, he met this young lady. They had this little really whirlwind romance real quick, first two episodes. And they're getting married. I won't say they got married first and she went on a trip, but they got married. Either way, she goes on this trip to South America. She comes back. She has a tale about she met this lady that basically says she's going to be cursed if she take this little ribbon off. Man, he cuts the ribbon off, dog. She has these three wishes that she wanted to have. I don't know what the third one was. I don't remember what it was. Amar Van is in this motherfucker. God damn it. She wasn't Amar Van like I wanted her to be, but she was in this motherfucker. But she played sister. But they have this kid, and the whole college, this motherfucker goes left in three episodes. This lady says this kid is not human or it's not whatever. like I want to say like third or fourth episode, she fucking runs away or some shit. They keep going back and forth with some shit that goes on his past. Next thing you know, they on this fucking island and that this fantasy island in fucking on the Hudson River, and this dude is this fucking demon shit, and these ladies are fucking witches, and the baby is gone, and you got these motherfucking little dwarfs or gnomes or whatever the fuck it is to live under the goddamn up under the subway system in New York to ride around on these like little lawnmowers and some shit they ride around on the subway rails down there. Nigga, the shit goes completely left, dog. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck did I just watch? But it was good. I enjoyed it. I ain't saying it's the best thing in the world, but shit, I enjoyed this shit. Hey, get a five. It got a I think a 5 star from a 5 star rating on IMDb. Hey, I'll take it. Nothing wrong with that. Let it go. Let it go. Let's see what I got left. Oh, talk about a dude in the house and what happened to him. Let's see. Hey man, sometimes I wonder, man. Sometimes I read these stories, man. I be seeing these little articles of some crazy and wild shit that happens in Memphis and these other cities, man. If GTA was a, what would the side story like the newscast and the everyday citizen in this motherfucker? Because God damn, some of the shit that we have been happening around. Have to happen around here is crazy. It reads the headline: man steals a squad's car after running from the police. The police department has a shortage of cars. They've been wrecking these motherfuckers left and right, like crazy. So to have a motherfucker steal his car is already putting them in jeopardy of having been down one less car. I mean, they do catch him. They said they got him in custody. They had him in custody for running from the police and stealing a squad car. It happened just after 6 o'clock on a Friday evening. Again, right in fucking daylight, fucking rush hour traffic. Messages. You get any messages? What's going on? What the fuck going on? Let's see. About 6 p.m., officer arrived. A suspicious person called near a shopping center at the corner of Stage Road and Covenant Pike. Memphis PD said when the officer tried to talk to the man, he ran off and stole the police car. And so he took it to the Region 1 with injuries. Wonder what kind of injuries did he have? Damn, let me just run up on another story right here. Oh man, that's the place to go to. Frequent diner dashes lead South owners, the restaurant owner to take action, man. This is the motherfucking local joint around the corner from me. Local business owner is saying enough is enough. Akita Sushi and Hibachi Steakhouse in South Haven is now implementing a new rule that require customers to provide a copy of the ID. The motherfuckers are going in there, sitting out at Hibachi, eating up all that fucking food and then dipping. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy shit, dog. So they're gonna take their ID to keep them from motherfucking leaving. Or they're gonna take a copy of the ID. It said it doesn't apply to all customers. It depends on the size of your party. If you're in a party of more than six, one person in the group will provide a copy of their ID. In the past year, we had a lot of people walk out without paying. The owner said, "Hey man, niggas are going in there, flash mobbing the goddamn hibachi place, and then one by one leave, stiffen them. We actually don't count how much but every night is $300, $200 walking out." In a month, maybe $8,000 or $6,000. Jesus Christ, these motherfuckers losing that much money in a sitting. Hey, niggas are wild, dog. Niggas are wild. Niggas are wild. $8,000 in a month, a motherfucker just dine and dashing. They ain't dine and dashing, man. It's a flash mob. Straight up. I've been in this restaurant. Motherfuckers will come up in that son of a bitch. What happened is somebody will show up. And I'll give you a good example. Because I've been there before, I had to pick up orders. What if they show up in the motherfucker party at like 2 or 3 and they're sitting there reserving, they're reserving for a cup for some folk because it's hibachi. And what happened is they'll fuck everybody else will either be outside or hang out there yet, and then they'll kind of filter in when they get called. And they filter the right the fuck out when they leave. Like motherfucker get up and go outside, go to their car, sit in their car, and don't fucking come back. And one by one they all leave. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody might come back and be like, "Hey, grab this or that, or the other," and or go sit at the bar and they out, dog. They stiffening with that tab. Yeah, take the ID, nigga. Make the motherfuckers pay a reservation fee. Easy fix there. I don't know why. I don't know why people be trying to motherfuckers do the difficult shit. Like we don't want to do the hard thing. Nigga, make these motherfuckers pay up front. People wonder why restaurants put a gratuity fee on large parties. Nigga, straight up. Ain't gonna be no gratuity fee. You gonna pay straight up right now. I'm sorry. It's not saying that you can't pay for it, but you gonna pay a reservation fee for a large party. It is what it is. I'll be goddamn if I lose $8,000 a month. Cause niggas just walking out on me. That's some crazy ass shit. Let's see. Anything else I want to talk about? No, I ain't got nothing else I want to talk about, man. I think I don't rambled on fucking long enough. I can be here and watch me some TV or some shit. Work on some videos and some other stuff. I will say this, man. Catman is back on. Catman is on HBO Max. I've been watching that. Pretty good. Watch there as far as comedy wise, especially if you watch Harley Quinn. It's not the same level of comedy as Harley Quinn, but it's the same characters. Bane is on this motherfucker still in the goddamn show. Bane don't need his own show, but Bane need to be on anything that they put out that they try to release. They need to just cross Bane over into this motherfucker. The Bane is the motherfucker. He steals the motherfucking show. Now they could get Wanda Sykes back. But you know, they got O'Gara from Abbott Elementary. She cool, but it's not the same level because I really wasn't expecting that character to come back, the Queen of Fable. I wasn't really expecting her to come back, but that motherfucking Bane, nigga. They got a Harley Quinn and they get a Harley Quinn and an Ivy cameo in there because you know, again, Kite Man was you know, fooling around with Ivy at one point in time. So yeah, that's pretty good. No top 10 smut this week. I did drop the smut 100 though. It is out. It's on the page. You can go check that out. I need to go put some stuff up on there on Patreon page for my patrons to go see because you know, gotta show them some love. There you go do that. But man, that's all I got, man. I did enough talking. It's enough. I'm done. I appreciate y'all. Everybody that listen, man. Y'all some great people. And just come back and fuck with me next go round. Till next time, I'm out this motherfucker. Peace.
Deuce, motherfucker.
This has been a Dr. Abrasive presentation.